You guys match your season high of assists tonight, I think. How much was just having a natural point guard out there? Did that help just having someone who's actually a point guard?
I just think everybody was in a good flow. I mean, you know, even though we had a natural point guard starting at the point, at the end of the day, everybody had that ball popping. You know, if you had two on you, you gave it up. If, you know, we just had a great feel. You know, Swish had some great passes. You know, Jose as well, and D-Wade, and everybody was on the floor, you know, just made some contributions. And, you know, when the ball's moving like that and player movement like that, everybody feels in a good rhythm, and it showed that tonight.
You made reference earlier to their game in Minnesota last night. Could you tell that they were a step slow on some defensive switches there in the first half when you guys went on your run?
I really wasn't. That's not a – it wasn't even a mindset for me. I just wanted to keep the pedal down. You know, we haven't had a win like this in a very long time. And, you know, we come out sometimes in the third quarter and we get slow starts and teams get back into it. But, you know, today we just kept it going, you know, and it's a pretty big step for us.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. I'm Chris, and this is my Cavs Cast. It's been a week since I talked to you last in the Cavs. As I said then, and I kind of was half-hearted, but I was serious about the Cavs being entertaining despite how good or bad they may be. And as awful as they might play, sometimes they're kind of a lovable mess and kind of a lot of fun. While I thought they were entertaining and fun, despite the fact that they were a mess, they've won five games in a row now. And look out, but they're actually back in playoff contention in the four seed in the East after a week ago being 11th, I believe. And they started out, you know, they had the game against the Rockets we talked about. They played good, but they lost. And then they just started winning. They were down by 20-something or 15 to the Clippers. They came back and won that in overtime, despite never leading the game in regulation. Last night, the Pistons, who were second in the East and first in the Central Division, they just showed up at Little Caesars Arena, the house that Kid Rock built, and they spanked them from beginning to end. They went on a run at the end of the first quarter, and they ended up winning by 20. I don't know the final score. I mean, I don't remember. Look it up. It doesn't matter. But they were up by 40 points at one point during the game, and the starters barely played in the second half. You know, towards the end of third quarter, they got pulled, and that was it. And the Cavs looked like the team that a lot of people were hoping they would see before the season, a regular season powerhouse, a potential finals team, and maybe even a team that could put up a fight against the Warriors. And look out now, but the Cavs, while they're still overall the worst defensive team in the NBA, over the last week and since their road trip started, which was about the kickoff of their new winning ways, they're actually eighth in the NBA in defense over that stretch, despite still having all the same players. Now, I know it's fun to pick on him. Maybe it's just a pure coincidence, but the Cavs suddenly started winning as soon as Derrick Rose got hurt. Now, I'm not saying Derrick Rose has no value. I'm not saying he's worthless. I know I said I didn't like him to begin with, and I didn't think he added much to the team. But it's really weird how they're all trying harder on defense. The ball, last night, the ball movement was crazy. They would be making extra passes all over the court. J.R. Smith had a beautiful behind-the-back pass you never see him usually do, straight to Dwayne Wade for a layup right in the middle of the lane. You know, they get the ball, the hockey assist, the swing around the top of the key. It'll go LeBron to Love, to LeBron, to Korver, back to LeBron, underneath to Wade, back out to Korver, three. It's just, it's sublime, the ball movement. It's like a delicious, you know, it's like when you get a cake and you think it's going to have that gross, like, butter frosting, but it's that smooth whipped cream frosting instead. And you're like, wow, I don't even like cake, but this cake is really, really good. And that's what their ball movement's like. And watch out, they also have the second best offense in the NBA behind the Rockets. And all of this without Isaiah Thomas playing. Isaiah Thomas the lesser, but still a guy who averaged 28.9 points per game last year while being the pretty much only option on the Boston Celtics. And it's weird how a week can suddenly change your perspective. And I'm sure if you go on Twitter and you search Cavs, you're going to see a lot of people talking about how good they look and how oh, they're finally playing together. But if you look at those same accounts and you go back, you know, 2 weeks, they're going to talk about how the Cavs suck. they're pointless. And besides Derrick Rose being out, the only other thing that's different was the emergence of the Cavs' new mascot, Arthur, who apparently one of those hundreds of Cleveland t-shirt companies made an Arthur Cavs shirt, and LeBron was wearing it after the game yesterday, which is kind of funny. But it might have a bad future for Arthur, because the last time a Cavs were wearing a meme shirt come to life, the Flat World Champions, Kyrie Irving apparently didn't like it because now he's on the Celtics.
Does your life lack the human interaction that only spreading your message, your creative thought from the top of your brain into your mouth and into the ears of another human being, creating a soul-to-soul connection that can only be felt through interpersonal communication and the game of basketball? This is Bill Walton imploring you, urging you, telling you right now to call my friend Chris, leave a message for his show. His phone number is 330-822-2296. It's a fantastic way to reach out to your fellow basketball lover and let him know that the love that you feel for this great game of ours can be felt by all the listeners through the wonder and the wizardry of electronic communication going across on the internet, being downloaded into your phone, and hearing your voice be heard by the hundreds, the thousands, the millions of listeners and lovers of the game of basketball just by calling the number 330-822-2296 and throwing down your basketball take for the world to hear, because the lovers of basketball are much like the fine grain of a leather that's created from a cow's behind that is cultivated through the mass that they eat by greedy grass that is grown by the sun through photosynthesis, and the sun is like basketball, bringing light to all of us. So remember, call 330-822-2296. Far out, man.
Last night, Danny Ainge tweeted, "Maybe the earth is flat because Kyrie Irving scored 47 points on 72% shooting from the field," which admittedly is really great. But I wanted to take a couple minutes and talk about, one, that's the stupidest thing I've ever read on Twitter, and we have a thing where our president's fighting with Marshawn Lynch, and all kinds of idiots are allowed to have a voice because anybody who wants to tweet anything can tweet whatever they want. And Danny Ainge is saying, oh, maybe the earth is flat. Maybe we should deny scientific fact because the guy who forced his way out of a championship-winning team to come to Boston thinks one of the dumbest things possible, that the earth is flat. So I'm going to amuse myself and I'm going to humor his stupid theory because he had a good game as a basketball player. First off, Danny Ainge, shut up. Secondly, Kyrie Irving, I have to talk about it. It's gone too far. The perception of Kyrie Irving this season is ridiculous. And I'm going to toss out last night's game because last night's game was awesome. The shooting percentage alone, it was just sick. He did great. I had all these stats. See, this is why I don't talk about stats. I had all these stats and these numbers pulled up from Kyrie Irving compared this season to last year on my iPad. My iPad just died. And I can't wait 10 minutes for it to charge up to get up. So I'm just going to try to make my point without referencing numbers. If you want them, go there. It's basketballreference.com. Everybody should know that by now. This is not a stats podcast. This is an opinion and comedy podcast. And the comedy is going to stop for a second. Not that it was that funny to begin with today, but I have to get this off my chest because it's really been aggravating and it's really been annoying. All season long, Kyrie Irving has been touted as an MVP candidate because the Celtics are like 15-3 or 12-3 right now. They have the best record in the NBA. That's great for them. Their defense is amazing. Kyrie Irving's actually trying on defense. He's running through screens. He's actually looking like he's paying attention and actually moving his feet on defense, which is crazy because he's so quick and athletic. It's almost like he could have done that for years now and actually would have helped the Cavs defense quite a bit. But that's okay. I'm not going to get bitter about this. He's averaging in the points, and I know we're talking about counting stats, but before last night, his PER, player efficiency rating, was also much worse. You know, it's weird. Kyrie Irving goes to Boston, and he's immediately touted as an MVP candidate for putting up worse numbers than he did last year. Admittedly, he is playing defense now. Not great. It has more to do with the fact he's on an elite defensive team, but he is still playing defense. He's trying. When a guy like Kevin Love is actually putting up better offensive numbers this year, and we're talking about what a disappointment he is because people were expecting him, he should be averaging 25 with Kyrie gone, forgetting the fact that he still has to post up, get the ball in those spots, and also, you know, when he's spotting up for threes, he's not going to have the ball in his hands. So it's really going to be hard for him to replicate what Kyrie Irving did unless the Cavs make a concerted effort to get him the ball, which they have been lately. But the point is, he's been a much more efficient player on offense, and people are talking about him as a disappointment. Kyrie Irving is playing worse on offense this year than he did last year, and people are talking about him as an MVP candidate. It begs the question why. One, I mean, there's two reasons why I pretty much come to this conclusion. People in the mainstream media, reporters, journalists, fans, whoever, anybody around the NBA seems to give a lot more credit to players that are in a traditional old guard market or big market. Kyrie Irving was phenomenal for the Cavaliers. He was exciting to watch. He started the All-Star game. He had his own shoe deals, his own commercials. He was a huge star. But for some reason, just the fact that he's gone from little, dirty old Cleveland to Boston, he's a real star now. He means more. Forget the fact that he's not scoring at as high of a rate, even though he has the ball in his hand just as much. Forget the fact, the weirdest thing about it is, people talk about his game's changed. He's moving the ball. He's become a real distributor. He's averaging less assists this year than he did last year. He's not doing any of that. But for some reason, putting on that Celtic screen and being in the market where people like, you have the biggest cheerleader and one of the biggest NBA personalities out there, and Bill Simmons, talking about his greatness, he's not a different player whatsoever. He is the exact same player. He's actually doing worse this year, but he's suddenly a miracle to the NBA because he's playing in Boston. Kristaps Porzingis is having a great season, but do you think he'd be touted nearly as much as he is if he was playing in Sacramento? I highly doubt it. Mitch Richmond toiled away in obscurity for most of the 90s, despite how great of a player he is. If he would have been on the Knicks, he would have been talked about as almost in the same breath as Michael Jordan. Obviously not for the winning and not on that level, but when people would say, oh, like, if you think about the 90s right now, you'd say, who is the second best shooting guard of the 90s? A lot of people would say Reggie Miller. And even though he played on Indiana, a lot of that is because his big moments in the playoffs came against the Knicks. When he was on that stage, that seemed to mean more. And the fact that Kyrie Irving's game is suddenly being reevaluated and all his weaknesses are being overlooked because he's in Boston is ridiculous to me. It's really a joke. And it kind of frustrates me because I think to an average fan, you have NBA League Pass, you're on Twitter, you're on the internet. Everything is almost equal in that respect. Giannis Antetokounmpo means no less for playing in Milwaukee than he would if he was anywhere else. But to the old guard media, the old traditionalists, it seems like Kyrie Irving's game has been recontextualized and it makes no sense to me. And it's one of the most frustrating things to watch. The other thing is, if you are playing with LeBron James, regardless of your personal opinions on him, your game is immediately underrated. LeBron is so great and so talented at basketball that you don't give as much credit or credence to the talents to the players that play with him because he's just that good. Kyrie Irving is playing worse without LeBron James, but suddenly he's changed. He's turned the corner. He's a better player. No. He's not whatsoever. The point is, you just assumed he wasn't doing as much because he's playing with a guy that great. Yet somehow it doesn't translate to an MVP because people don't want to vote for LeBron because he's always that good. The guy is 33, playing in the NBA for 15 years, going deep in the postseason almost every single year to the point where he's basically played 20 seasons, and we don't give his teammates credit. We get mad because Kevin Love isn't putting up Minnesota numbers because he's playing with LeBron James. And instead of honoring that, we just go, oh, what's the deal with that? Kyrie Irving puts up worse numbers in Boston than he did in Cleveland. And people act like he's a completely changed player. It makes no sense. And it's kind of weird because the guys that used to be considered great got more credit for playing with great players. Scottie Pippen has more credit for playing with Michael Jordan. There was guys like BJ Armstrong who should have never sniffed an all-star team who got there for playing with Michael Jordan. What guys that play with LeBron, he's such a good passer. We're just supposed to assume he's the reason they're good and that's it. You can't have it both ways, and it's not going to matter because a lot of Cavs fans are going to be mad next year when LeBron leaves, or if he leaves. It's not set in stone, but it's kind of a joke how things are perceived, and it gets really old really fast. So the Cavs are in a problem because they're not running away with it because they have LeBron, but the guys on the team, it doesn't matter what they do because they have LeBron. You can't paint things in both directions. The Cavs can't be too good because of LeBron, and the player's talents discredited because of LeBron, because you're not making the same argument there. And it happens all the time. And it's one thing for some guy with 12 followers that tweets out links to illegal streams of popular movies that are in the theaters right now in between arguing with Stephen A. Smith's Twitter account. It doesn't matter what they think, but this is something that happens over and over again. It's really just getting old. And the sickest thing about this season, it's fine. Kyrie Irving shit on Cleveland. He shit on the city and his team and whatever. But the fact that he's getting all this credit he didn't get before is the most frustrating thing that I've had to deal with. Because what's the problem? Does Cleveland just not matter? Is LeBron too good? Either way, the answers piss me off. And I'm sure I'll talk about this more this year, but this year's Boston Celtics, with how their offense is going, it's not really that good. It's a great defense. They have a great coach and a lot of young athletic players who are doing what they need to do to win. But they kind of look like a mirror image of that Atlanta Hawks team from 3 years ago, who had this amazing offense that was greater than the sum of its parts, that rolled off 60-plus wins in the regular season, and then got swept by the Cavs in the playoffs. And I'm going to be as bold as say, I don't think Boston, if they match up against the Detroit Pistons, is getting past them, because we all remember Avery Bradley did play pretty good defensively against Kyrie Irving, and I would like to see that matchup. So in the long run, I don't think it's going to matter, but I am getting sick of how hyped the Celtics are. You know, let them go 70-12 in the regular season. It's really not going to matter, because I really don't think they're that good. I would be more worried about playing the Sixers in the playoffs than I would be about the Boston Celtics, honestly. That's not an exaggeration whatsoever. In terms of teams I'd be worried to play in the playoffs right now, it'd probably be Wizards, 76ers, and then I guess Celtics third. So they're good, but it's November. It's not even Thanksgiving. We're basically acting like the Cavs are done. I think we're rushing too fast to coronate Kyrie Irving for playing like the exact same player he has. He's just the leading scorer now. Something that actually he was last year. He led the Cavs in scoring, but let's just forget about that, because that doesn't fit into the narrative of Kyrie Irving turning a corner. Let's also toss out the fact that he averaged almost half an assist per game more last year. Actually, more than that. He averaged 5.8. He's averaging 5.2 now. He had the ball in his hands even more now. So, you know, he's unselfish. He's distributing. He's playing completely different. He's a changed man. Thank you for playing in Boston, Kyrie Irving, because now the world is actually appreciating your talents. I don't really have a lot else to say. The Cavs got a game on Wednesday. I'll have a Thanksgiving episode this week, and it's just fun to watch them. You know, they're finally clicking. And the one thing that they said, I don't know if it was Love or LeBron or even Dwayne Wade, but about 3 weeks ago when they were playing very badly, they said that this team was the best collection of high IQ basketball players they've ever played with, that everybody was really smart on the court and knew exactly what to do. In a game like last night, where they probably should have had a much harder time against the Pistons, but their ball movement and their positioning and everything they were doing, especially on offense, just showed these guys really are a super high IQ collection, high basketball IQ collection of players. And the more they get to play together and the more they start clicking and moving the ball around, I think the more exciting they'll be. And I'm not saying all their problems are solved. You know, that just because they played the eighth best defense in the league for a week and a half doesn't mean everything's cured. But it is fun when they start to click on the offensive end and you see how talented this team could be. It basically just comes down to them. If they make enough three-pointers, they look really tough to beat. And crazily enough, Kyle Korver's leading the team in plus-minus most nights, which just shows you put those shooters around LeBron like we saw last couple of years, there's something to see. And sorry, Kyrie, or even Derrick Rose in this case, it's amazing how much better they look when the ball doesn't stick with any one player, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm even more excited about the Cavs now than I was a week ago. They still got a lot of issues. It's still not as fun as it could be, but each game is becoming more and more entertaining, and really that's all we can ask for, because it's November. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, let alone Christmas, let alone Valentine's Day or All-Star break. So we got a lot of basketball left to watch. We got a lot of controversies that may or may not happen. And it's always a fun time with the Cavs, because you never know what to expect day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for humoring my rant about Kyrie Irving. I don't think you'll find anything to disagree with there. Have a good Thanksgiving. I'll be back later this week. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and go Cavs. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.